I'm not sure I have a question about the bus that you were asking.
Krishnananda is calling, he's not calling me, is he?
I don't know how that happened.
Say that again.
Varshana has a question about the pastime that you were narrating.
Yeah.
Varshana?
Hare Krishna. We understand that the Lord can't be controlled or captured by anything except the love of the devotees. So this particular pastime, which is so called.
I don't know. There's these other noises going on. You need to just mute that, because it's too much of a distraction for me. Especially when people are phoning. I don't know why Krishnananda is trying to phone me. Anyway, go ahead. I'm trying to concentrate.
We understand that the Lord can't be bound, controlled in any shape or form by anything except by the love of his devotees. So I was trying to understand through this pastime that you spoke of how it's possible for a jiva to curse either Krishna or Srimati Radharani or Ram or Sita. Is it specifically for pastime purpose, or
yes, these
how
are,
is it when it happens that way?
These are pastimes, and it's only by Krishna's arrangement that these things happen, and Krishna accepts these things. Whether they're jivas or not, that's something else. They may not be, I don't remember what their actual spiritual identity is, but it's like Jai and Vijay, they come and they fight, so, you know, they fight and become part of the pastime, so it's Krishna's pastime, and different people play different roles.
Okay, Jonas, thank you. I just wanted to, I understand it if it's pastime, so I was just wondering if it was anything else. Thank you.
No, that's everyone, especially Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they display their narrow lila, human-like pastimes. And that means that things that happen to human beings, they allow to happen to them. It's just like Krishna allows Mother Yashoda to tie him up, so she also allows other living entities to curse him, because it fulfills the purpose of his lila. It's his arrangement. Otherwise, if it wouldn't be, no one can curse him. Just like Gopal Chapal cursed Lord Chaitanya never to get any material opulence or to know the comforts of material life. So Lord Chaitanya took it as a blessing. It's by Krishna's grace. And ultimately, none of these things are, nothing's binding on him. He's the one who makes any type of curse or boon possible. So even the boons that demigods give to other living entities, that's only possible by Krishna's arrangement. Similarly, curses are only possible. Nothing happens unless Krishna wills it.
So Krishna is bound by the word of his devotee, even if it's a curse, and allow it to happen.
Everything happens what he wants to happen, or what his internal potency happens. Nothing happens outside of that, whether it's done by a devotee or a demon or anyone. Everything is nothing. Krishna is not subject to karma. Namam karmani limpanti. He's not working under any karma. He's not getting the results of any kind of karmic reaction. It's all an arrangement by his internal potency. Okay. Someone else? Say that again. Okay.
Where the father has a full-time job, mother works part-time and looks after two small children.
Are you speaking right into the microphone or close? Because I'm not picking up everything that you're saying. I need everyone to speak well into the computers. Go ahead.
Okay. Say everything what I said, Guru Maharaj?
Yeah, no, go, just continue.
Okay, so I'm going to read out the question. In a family where the father has got a full-time job, mother works part-time and looks after two small children, it means for cooking plus all the other household duties like cleaning, laundry, shopping, kids' homeworks. Sometimes it is very difficult, if not physically impossible, for her to always cook fresh prasadam for the family.
To always what?
To always cook fresh prasadam for the family. So when she cooks a bit extra and keeps it for the next day. Her husband, however, sometimes objects, saying that prasadam should always be cooked fresh. Could you please share your view on this? Can prasadam be kept in a fridge and warmed up next day, or should it always be cooked fresh?
It can be warmed up. There's no harm in warming it up. It can be warmed up. There's no problem with that. It's just that, you know, deities, you're meant to offer them an offering, fresh offering every day. So some days they eat, some days they don't eat. But that's not so much of an issue for home deities, at least not for Gornitai. That's all right if there's no alternative other than cooking like that. I guess from the prasadam point of view, it's not a problem heating it up. I'd rather, you know, not. There's other issues about not eating freshly cooked food all the time, or I can't say. But if that's how busy life is, then it's a satisfactory arrangement. It's acceptable. There's more. The question is, does she chant Hare Krishna, the mother?
Just on 16 rounds.
That's important. That's more important. That's good. That's good. Otherwise, if he pushes her, then she won't have time to chant 16 rounds. So that's fine. So obviously, if you can improve on it, but there are more essential things than that. Something else?
environment. That's it from me.
Okay. You have to speak better in because it breaks up.
Can you hear me?
You know, people always do this. They say, "Can you hear me now?" and then they don't say anything.
Okay, there's a question from a Lingam Majority.
Uh huh.
Okay, this is from her deep question. I've been asked to do some mantra meditation programs to gradually introduce new people from your group to Kirtan. The organizer would rather we chanted other mantras like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya initially, and then gradually progressed chanting Hare Krishna. Do you have any advice on what mantras we could chant with them, or how to go about this?
Well, authorized mantras that you find in our books or songs. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's fine. And you may have either songs that you want to select or other mantras that we may find in Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita. It depends on how you're going to present that, but in the 10th chapter where Krishna talks about Rasoham, so on. If there's a meditation that goes along with it, so when we try to explain to people that what's the taste in everything, and that God is the taste in everything, then they can also chant verses of Bhagavad Gita. Rasoham apsukanteya, rasoham sounds like, you know, soham. They could get into something like that, but it's Rasoham. And anyway, we'll see how valuable it is. Ultimately, yes, it should come to chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, actually, those mantras are not they won't have real transcendental benefit. They'll have some spiritual benefit, but they're not empowered for people to just chant here and there as they like. It's like people like to publicly chant Gayatri Mantra, but Gayatri Mantra is not it's not a mantra that people can chant without initiation. And since you can't chant it without initiation, then you're not going to get any transcendental benefit from chanting it. So, but Hare Krishna mantra, anyone can chant without initiation, and they'll get great spiritual benefit. So ultimately, the proof of the pudding is that we get them to chant Hare Krishna. And just because we happen to be Hare Krishnas doesn't mean there's anything wrong with our mantra. You can also get in touch in Hungary. We have this the Gaur Krishna. We have this called Yoga Master's degree, which is a 3-year course in becoming a yoga, receiving a yoga diploma, being actually a yoga teacher. And there's a lot of philosophy involved, and there's also chanting of mantras involved. It's all based around teaching people Bhagavad Gita. And it's very popular. So I think it's something that you could get in touch with him and see what other mantras they also use. Someone have something else?
is, she is online actually, Gurmaj. I don't know if she wants to respond to that.
Okay.
Ananga?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for your response. I've noted the points you've made. Thank you.
This is some kind of yoga society?
It's a local group of people who meet up to practice having yoga, different yoga exercises together. And one of the members comes to, well, she hosts a big kirtan in a building on her property, and she wanted to invite more people to come. But she was a bit tired of being too upfront as Hare Krishna initially, so she asked me if I could do some art chanting and with kirtan to lead people in.
Yeah, you can, there's Brahma Samhita verses and Bhagavad Gita verses and different prayers and mantras and kavachas and so many things. As much as possible, they should be from an authorized source. And somehow or another give people some kind of spiritual benefit that leads them to Krishna. Govinda, Jaya, Jaya, and things like that. I mean, karmis are doing this all the time. And they're chanting Hare Krishna as well. They're not so worried about it as we are. They do it. And then they chant other types of things. Nishinga prayers.
Podcast that you were discussing with Sachin Maharaj about some mantra meditation program from a podcast I think last August, and you were saying how you presented the names in the Maha Mantra as meditations in and of themselves.
Govinda Maharaj has a whole seminar that he does along with psychiatrists who present the meditative benefits of sound, the transcendental nature of sound, the effect of sound on the consciousness, how it purifies the different types of sound that there are, and that ultimately that the purest sound is transcendental sound, which is the name of God. And I was actually wanting to develop that as well until I really got snowed down with writing this book, and that sort of curtailed a lot of my new type preaching activities. But it was very good, and he was just doing that, and he was also chanting, starting off with getting people to chant different mantras. And what he'd do is he'd get people to chant Hare Krishna, but he would just first start by just repeating the names, and then they would just do one word at a time. They had a whole system. Probably Govinda Maharaj, you won't be able to get him online, but anyway, if you write to Rati Manjari, who's his translator, she can tell you what the details of that were.
Thank you very much. I will do that. We've been practicing a little bit with chanting Hare, meditatively, and then Krishna, and then Ram, and we've been practicing with using the sitar, with like a tambour at the moment to make it meditative. People to ease them in.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We're enjoying it, and I hope that we'll too with practicing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have one more question, if I may?
Okay.
Thank you. So these same people, we've also scheduled an Ayurveda workshop to encourage people to develop a sattvic lifestyle. And hopefully we're going to use that workshop also to attract people over to these mantra meditation evenings. Whenever I've attended an Ayurvedic class or workshop myself, the teacher always recites different mantras at the beginning of the class. And usually these are prayers to Mother Ganga or Nesh, Sarasvati or Lord Dhanvantari. So I wanted to ask you, Gumraj, I wanted to follow this traditional format myself, but I want to be careful to properly represent our own traditions. So is it okay for us to chant prayers to Lord Dhanvantari when beginning the class, or do you have any other recommendation?
Well, if you do, then I'd try and get the one that's in Srimad Bhagavatam when he comes out of the milk ocean. As long as we're chanting with the conception that Krishna is Dhanvantari. You know, we should look for Vaishnav prayers. We should always look up Vaishnav prayers. I'm sure, I can't remember what the one in the Mohini Murti Lila is, but he comes out there, and I don't know if there's any prayer or any kind of stuti regarding him. Otherwise, I'm sure you can always look it up on the internet and find some suitable Vaishnav prayers.
I have one prayer here in my course syllabus from the Ayurveda course I'm studying, but they don't cite the origin. It's called Dhanvantari Stotram, but they don't cite the origin of the prayer, so I didn't want to chant without checking it first.
I don't know, but you can check all these things on the internet. It's pretty useful for that kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.